Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our scripture today, I think, requires just a little bit of Christmas unwrapping. Matthew's story about the conception of Jesus focuses on Joseph. Mary is silent in this unfolding drama of Jesus' birth. It's a picture that begins actually in the text before. At the beginning of Matthew, with this very long genealogy, beginning with Abraham, going through David, all the way until we hear Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So in the New Testament, we have this genealogy that takes us all the way from Abraham to Joseph. But in the Hebrew scriptures, which Matthew loves to quote, he's talking about the foretelling of the Messiah. And in his scripture, in Isaiah's, there's a word that is called, that is Alma, A-L-M-A-H, and it refers to a young woman who is either married or unmarried. Isaiah's writing does not suggest a miraculous birth. But when Isaiah was translated into Greek, the Jewish translators chose the word Parthenos, which means virgin. In fact, translated actually, the virgin. When we grapple with the ancient ideas, about Jesus and about Joseph, we hear this really important theological question. Who's your daddy? You can laugh. I'm a reverend. You get to be a reverend. Who's your daddy? It's a question that sits there at the end of this text. See, Joseph is visited in a dream and told to marry this pregnant woman who has been conceived a child by the Holy Spirit. He is to name the baby Jesus to fulfill the Hebrew prophecy that says the child will be called Emmanuel, which that doesn't make sense to me. He names him Jesus, and maybe he didn't name him Emmanuel because he had like an Uncle Emmanuel who told really bad jokes at every family gathering, and he said to Mary, "I just can't do it." We'll name him Jesus. So then the prophecy is fulfilled both ways. I mean, it's just a confusing kind of text, and yet I love it. I love the whole story. It's one thing to be certain in this tricky business of who's your daddy, that this was a very dangerous thing for Joseph to do. In our culture, we can't even imagine the scandal and the idea that the incarnation had. We can't. Behind this beautiful nativity scene is scandal and wonder, not one without the other. Now, over the years, Christians have argued and argued about the claims. On one hand, Jesus is an ordinary man with two human parents, which leaves us with all kinds of questions about the incarnation. On the other hand, Jesus is fully divine and fully human, with one human parent and one divine parent, making Jesus a little bit of a hybrid that we don't exactly have an explanation for. And the arguments will go on for as long as Christians are alive. I am certain we are. This is one of the things we're very, very good at. We like to talk about what we think the truth of the gospel is. And we will likely never really answer the question, who's your daddy? But when we hear in Matthew the theological struggles, we also hear that Joseph married and raised Jesus as his son. All the while, society might have been whispering about Joseph, but despite the stigma, Joseph became the dad. Joseph's response to God's call was without any foresight of what the future held. He couldn't have known at all what this man was going to grow to be or how Jesus' life would unfold. But we do know that Jesus was taught by Joseph to work with wood and the lathe. And maybe, just maybe, he saw something special in this child. Matthew is telling us in his story, when he gives us the genealogy, that Jesus has been adopted into the line of David. Now, if any of you, and I know many of you, are step-parents or have adopted a child, you're familiar with the challenges that Joseph faced. Because you make a commitment to God's children, and it's the kind of commitment that goes beyond the Hallmark moments that are on TV and all the Christmas commercials. It is a kind of love that has enormous depth. To love children, all our children, with that kind of love, honors the very heart of the gospel. Joseph became the dad to Jesus and helped Jesus grow into the divine human being he was. Every child in the world is a divine human being with potential. And Joseph put his trust in God, and it made a difference to the world. And as Christians, we are called to do exactly the same, to see every child as our child. The incarnational love of God, those that are unsafe and unhappy, those that are dying from disease and from drugs, the runaway and the abused, and all those who actually physically hunger and thirst, and those who hunger and thirst for a loving presence in their lives. From all of our own children who we love dearly in their wonderful imperfections, to all the children of the world, we are the mothers and the fathers, the sisters and the brothers. And God calls us to keep the children of the world safe from the Herods of the world. Marion Wright Edelman, she's a great educator, and she wrote a wonderful book called Lanterns, A Memoir of Mentors. And if you haven't read it, especially if you're a teacher, it's a wonderful book. And in it, she said, God did not create two classes of children or human beings, only one. And that means that every child that God has ever created is made of the same incarnational love that Jesus was made of. She also said, never judge the contents of a box by its wrappings. Open it up before you buy it or throw it out. This nation throws away billions of dollars and countless wealth and human potential by judging children and others by their extrinsic characteristics of color and gender or background, and I would add sexual orientation, rather than by their intrinsic qualities and abilities. I've often thought that Matthew and Luke, though they gave us this sort of confusing story we struggle with theologically, blessed us with the idea that Jesus came into the world as a little baby and that the gospel begins at the beginning of life. All children, the moment that they breathe. Jesus came into the world as a little child, as the star child, helping us to begin our journey there. But then he grew to be a man who pushed the boundaries of shared genes and kinship ties. He said, "Who is my mother?" He said, "Who is my brother?" I don't know if he said, "Who is my daddy?" But we ask the questions, don't we? Who are the mothers, the brothers, the sisters? Who are the dads? Who are the moms? They're all theological questions. We can argue forever about Jesus' parenting. And on some ways, that takes us away from the importance of what this moment in time has been teaching us ever since it took place. We can also look at Joseph, who is an unsung hero. We hear very little about him after the birth of Jesus. There's only one other hardly little mention of when Jesus is in the temple. But we don't even really hear about him. We don't hear him showing up at Jesus' rallies and teachings as we did about Mary. But he was a hero in a dangerous and formidable time. He helped create the history that we are living today because he said yes to Mary. He said yes to Jesus because he said yes to God. He did not judge the box by the wrappings of this poor child. And his decision has blessed us today. We have all been entrusted to bring the Christ child up well. Every Christ child, the shy ones, the exuberant ones who embarrass us during children's time, the children who act out and the ones who keep it all inside, those children who are physically and mentally challenged, the deaf, the blind, the homeless, the poor, and the hungry, and all those children of ours who have all kinds of things going on and will forever in their lives. We need to listen to what they're trying to tell us, and we need to listen to what they're trying to teach us. We need to love them lavishly, and we need to help them remove their personal, political, and economic obstacles. That is part of what the gospel calls us to do, is to pave a road for them, a safe road for them. So I wonder how we as a congregation, as we grow with all these children and youth, how do we become mentors for the children in our world and the children beyond our doors? What can we do for our community? Most all of us have had a mentor in our life where we've been a recipient of the love and commitment of somebody who loved us for who we are and saw in us the possibilities. Marion Wright Edelman also says in her book, "Be a good ancestor. Stand up for something bigger than yourself." The life of the children is something bigger than ourselves. And we can make a difference in the lives of every single child, just as Joseph did. We need to ask ourselves, what will our legacy be? This is the question that Jesus, the marginalized one, the one who changed what family meant, asks of us. What will our legacy be? And though not much was mentioned about Joseph, we do know this. He may have seen that holy potential in that child, and he made a commitment to God to be present for that child. And with his presence, he answered at least part of the question of, "Who's your daddy?" Amen.